Welcome to the Patriot League's Pillar Citizen Spotlight. My name is Aaron Robertson, and I'm the president of the Patriot League, where we work to advance four pillars of moral truth that we believe sustain America's ability to survive and thrive. Since 2009, we've been building the Pillar Citizen community, and we're joined today by one of its leading members, Rabbi Oswald Garigori, and we're so pleased to have you with us today. Thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure to be here.
Yes, thank you, sir. It's been fun to visit, even the time we've had so far.
Thank you.
Rabbi Garigori serves as the rabbi at Aliyah Congregation. Did I say that right, by the way?
Not quite.
Help me out.
Aliyah.
Okay.
Congregation.
Aliyah Congregation, and that's in Palmer Lake, Colorado. And we've worked with him since 2017 as part of our Pillar Project. And it's a non-ecumenical gathering and coalition of religious leaders calling on their governing officials to defend the Pillar principles. And his remarks are not intended to be an official statement of the congregation or its affiliates, but reflect his sincerely held personal and religious beliefs. So, Rabbi Garigori, we'd like to start off by asking you, what's your primary motivation for believing in and defending the Pillar principles, which are traditional marriage, parental rights, religious liberty, and the humanity of the unborn? What's your main motivation?
Well, I agree with all of those. Mm-hmm. But I have tried to condense our views, our beliefs, mm-hmm. and pretty much we came to 3 points.
Okay.
To love our God, to love people, and to honor His word.
Okay.
That is our three main views, mm-hmm. that we struggle to preserve and to live by it.
Do you believe that?
To love God, love people, and honor His words.
Honor His words. Do you believe thereby standing for the pillar principles for like marriage and the humanity of the unborn, mm-hmm. is that part of the standing by His word?
Of course.
Maybe that's all?
Of course. Because all of that, abortion, marriage, all that is covered in His word.
Okay.
So we love Him, we love people, and we honor His word. So to us, His word is the most important. And I just made that graphic for you. Mm-hmm. You know, how we
He drew me a graphic of sort of the doctrinal position that you hold
on some of the scriptures. How we see the scriptures.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
So, next question for you is, why, in your view, Rabbi, should the Jewish community not only believe in these principles, but also actually advocate for them, stand up for them? Why should it be more than just a personal belief?
Which principles?
Well, of course, the principles for the Word of God, generally. Mm-hmm. But specifically for traditional marriage. Mm-hmm. Let's just take that one.
Okay. Well, like in every community, there are those who seek God and honor His words, and there are those who are in love with themselves, mm-hmm. and they make their own doctrines or their own views,
okay.
and they are bound by them. And that's common also in the Jewish community, unfortunately.
You've seen that. You're seeing that in the Jewish community.
Right. Because part of the Jewish community has been influenced by secularism. And they have abandoned, many Jews have abandoned Torah and the teachings of Hashem.
And what is Hashem, if you would
Hashem
mind?
Hashem is the name.
Okay.
Is the translation mean the name? Everywhere where shows up those four Hebrew letters for the name of God,
okay.
There is no way to pronounce that. Some people say Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, give the names of the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And others will call the name. And so the name is Hashem.
Okay.
Every time that those four letters appear, is say the name, the name, the four letters.
Yeah.
So they use the word Hashem.
The name. Mm-hmm. So do you believe that people in the Jewish community should do more than just hold a personal belief about these? For example, maybe get involved in some way to help promote, let's take the humanity of the unborn as another example. Mm-hmm. You're mm-hmm. talking about which principles, you know, what take
well,
that one.
Well, unfortunately, there is an inconsistency in the Jewish community because every Jew like to use the word L'chaim,
okay,
to life. When they breathe, they have a drink, they knock one
yeah, yeah.
the other, will say L'chaim,
okay,
to life.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, they many of them have been secularized influence, and they believe that a child that is aborted is not really a person.
So they're saying to life.
They are not for life.
But it's not actually meaning the unborn. Yeah,
they say that the unborn mm-hmm. is not really alive. Well,
okay.
There's not really life until he comes out. They rationalize that way, you know what I mean?
What do you believe on this question?
I believe that from the moment of conception, that person is 100% a human being,
human being,
just condensed in the process of being grown and developing.
Okay. Okay.
But he comes into existence at that moment of conception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. So there may be some Jewish people, Rabbi, who say that members of your community, they shouldn't concern themselves with these principles because they're a distraction to more important matters. So
which principles?
Well, so let's take religious liberty.
Uh-huh.
Some people may say, don't worry about religious liberty because uh-huh. it's not important if you compare it to other things.
Mm-hmm.
How would you respond to someone who says, well, you're wasting your time, mm-hmm. you'd say, promoting that?
Well, religious liberty is something to be greatly appreciated by every community. Because if I only want liberty for Jews, but there is no liberty for Baptists, for example.
Okay.
Or Pentecostal.
Or, yeah, whatever.
Or whatever, right? So it is our duty to honor Hashem and be in favor of the liberty that He provides to us. We too need to have the same
okay.
attitude to provide that to others.
So you yeah. believe that? So whether
religious
no matter the religion,
very, very important. Now,
okay.
unfortunately, there is many religions that are misguided,
mm-hmm.
and they misled people. And yet, there are many people who are searching for God
mm-hmm.
in different religions, and eventually. I believe that Hashem will lead them to the truth.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So you would defend the religious liberty not only of the Jewish community, but the Christian, the Muslim, the
yeah.
Buddhist.
Yeah.
You would defend that as long as yeah. we're talking about peaceful citizens.
Right.
Related to the humanity of them. What if someone in your congregation said, Rabbi, in the Word, in mm-hmm. the Torah, in
uh-huh.
the Scriptures, God says life begins, like you said, at conception.
Conception. Uh-huh.
What I'm kind of wanting to know, if I can, is do you support that person if they say, so I want to get involved? I want to,
definitely.
Do something. Do you
right.
support the actions?
Right, of course.
You do support that?
Yes, because I think it is a responsibility of everyone who embraces God and His instructions to propagate what He instructs us.
Okay, propagate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so to communicate, to inform. Many people will practice abortion, for example, because they think it's one solution for a lot of problems.
That's so sad.
But the same people, they never got instructions that saying that God is for life.
True.
And He wanted to preserve life.
That's right.
And so that person is guilt. But in some places, we who know the Torah, know the Scriptures, we are guilt for not communicating what God has instructed. Our duty is to communicate what God has stated. What we think, there's no value. But what He says has all the value.
Okay. What do you believe should be the primary factor that the Jewish community considers when they vote for a candidate for public office?
Well, in the Jewish community, we have an expression that we like to use a lot. It's called L'chaim.
L'chaim.
To life.
To life, okay.
Yeah. And so the Jews are for life. Unfortunately, there is one great section of the Jewish community that is not for life, although they will say L'chaim, but they are in favor of abortion.
Okay.
And they rationalize that, I don't know how, because of the scriptures, there's not any instructions for abortion in the Torah. So the Jewish community is for life.
Is that the main, would you say, the main factor?
Yeah, L'chaim is the life. Without life, we have nothing.
Right.
We say that, you know. So that is very, very important, to be for life. But we need to be consistent. And in our community, there is a lot of liberal, socialist influence. And those ideas of reducing the value of life proceed from them,
okay.
From socialism, from communism. And that has influenced our community.
Wow.
And so we have many Jews who are in favor of abortion, to kill the unborn. Yeah. It's very sad.
It's very sad.
Because we know how painful it is when people, for their reasons, come around killing some of us.
If we can, let's talk about a bill that was passed by our legislature.
Okay.
Okay, it became law last year.
Okay.
The law makes it legal for an adult, in this case it's a psychotherapist, to have private conversations with a parent's child as young as 12 years old, without the parent's permission, or even the knowledge that the conversation has taken place. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that is a violation of the parents' rights.
Okay.
And it's sad that someone in the Jewish community will propagate that, because family values are very important in our community.
Okay. And I don't know if it was a Jewish,
I thought you said it was.
If people in the legislature did this. It may have been somebody in your community, I don't know. But it was a legislator, or legislators, who worked together to do this.
Okay, so I don't think it was probably Jewish, because Jews are for life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And for life and the liberty of parents, right. As you're saying.
Family values.
To raise the family, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in 1776, the American founders wrote this in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life. We've been talking about life. Mm-hmm. With this in mind, what are you observing in society? What do you see out there that is feeding a mindset that disregards the dignity of human life?
Well, the source is an inward rebellion against God.
Okay.
Because where do they get those ideas from? They get those ideas from Torah. They get those ideas from the Bible.
Okay.
And they implant it in the constitution, in the law, and so on.
Yeah.
But there is an inward rebellion in the heart of men who are in love with themselves, and they are not concern or interest in anything of God. And so whatever they can provide to be against God, they will do it.
Right. And it's destructive to society, right? It hurts us as a society.
Exactly. And that's what they're doing. You know, what you just say is an example of that.
Right. Okay. So given the current legal and cultural climate with respect to the pillars, should members of the Jewish community actively consider running for public office?
I hope so.
Okay, you hope so.
Yeah, I think that will be a good thing. Because a Jewish person in general will revere Torah.
Just in general? It has a tendency.
The great majority of Jews, even if they don't participate in the synagogue or in the community and stuff, they still will revere Torah, you know. Some more than others.
Yes.
But in general, that is an upheld value in our community.
So get involved, right? And don't just watch it. Right. Don't just watch our republic, you know, go off the raft over Niagara Falls.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Do something, yeah.
Unfortunately, many think they are not important enough to cause any impact in society. And so they will just say, let's work, make money, and take care of family, and things like that, you know. And detach from the political involvement.
Yes.
I am a Jew, but in the Jewish community, I will not be considered a good Jew.
Okay. Why?
Because
why is that?
Let me tell you what happened. I was born and raised in Brazil, and I came to America. And after living in America for a few years, I became a naturalized American citizen. And I went to the federal courthouse, and they gave me my, like a diploma, you know, a certificate of naturalization.
Right.
And that we had a ceremony in the morning, and we had some legislators that came to speak and so on. And then on the after, then we had luncheon. They provided a luncheon for us. And then in the afternoon, you know what I did? The first thing I did as an American citizen, I went to the Republican headquarters and I said, I became an American citizen this morning.
Okay.
And I came here to register myself Republican.
Really?
Because
the first day?
The first thing I did as an American citizen, because at that time, our president was Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
And I really thank him. He was a very godly man.
So you connected Ronald Reagan with the Republican Party.
Correct.
So you said, I want to align myself with that.
Right. And ever since, I vote every election. And I tell you, unfortunately, our community has been, for some reason, influenced by the Democrat Party.
Okay.
And yet, the Democrat Party stand against a lot of the principles that are very valuable for us.
I think you said something important, if I heard you correctly. It's about the principles of the parties, right? So, if I'm hearing you correctly, let's say there was a Democratic candidate who was strong on the pillar principles. They defended marriage, they defended life, parental rights, and so on. You wouldn't necessarily have a problem with them. It's the fact that the association with the party now, in most cases, unfortunately, this is the case. If you look at the Democratic National Platform, you can see that.
Yeah.
But it's really about the principles. It's not about the labels as much. Am I hearing you correctly?
That's correct.
With respect to, you know, we know there's a lot of conflict over in the Middle East. In Israel, there's all kinds of conflicts. And a lot of times, it's presented that, if you want to call it, generally speaking, the Arabic peoples, right? And the Jewish peoples, there's just no hope for reconciliation. There's no eye to eye. But in your view, I'm just curious in your view, I know this is sort of a sensitive political topic, especially over there in that part of the world, but are you saying that, hey, I'm a member of the Jewish community, you're saying, therefore, let us have our way, no matter if we're right or wrong? Or are you saying this? We are right in, let's say, for example, your belief about the land, just mm-hmm. as one example, mm-hmm. and therefore the U.S. government should side with us because we're in the right. Mm-hmm. Or are you saying, hey, it doesn't matter if the Jewish person involved is just or unjust, if there's a person of Arabic descent, they should always take the side of the Jewish? I'm just curious, because some mm-hmm. people might say, well, is there a cases where you would actually say, as a member of the Jewish community, sure, there's been times where people within your own community have been wrong, and you wouldn't mm-hmm. you wouldn't say, always defend people from my ethnicity. Mm-hmm. Or is that your view, or is it more, defend us now because in this case we're right? Okay. Do you see what I'm asking?
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, every race and every nationality don't live by the principles that created that society.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
That's true. I think that's pretty true.
It's a reality. Now, in our community, we have had many Jewish people who love Hashem, who are totally committed to God and want his Torah, his instruction in their lives. Mm-hmm. At the same time, in the Jewish community, we have had many atheists, mm-hmm. Antagonistic towards God completely.
Yeah.
Completely rejecting God. Unfortunately, that's the reality, you know. And that speaks of the heart of man. The heart of man was contaminated by sin.
Yes.
And God came to deal with sin and to release us from the domain of sin and control and power of sin over us. Yet, if we are so in love with ourselves, we have nothing to profit from what he came to do for us.
Right.
But if we practice like the Torah says, seek Hashem when you can find him. There is a time that we will seek and we will not find. Mm-hmm. So, but right now, the time is he who knocks will open, and so on, you know. So we have a great time, but that time it will change.
Let me put it another way too, is I view it almost like, let's say my son, mm-hmm. okay, he's my son. So, mm-hmm. you know, we generally are going to defend our children. Mm-hmm. And let's say he breaks the neighbor's window, mm-hmm. and rather than saying, well, you know what, he was wrong. He yeah. broke your window. He's going to have to pay for it uh-huh. and be disciplined. I defend my son because he's my son. Mm-hmm. I can't, some people, whether it's the Jewish community, the Arabic community, the whatever, it's sort of like, I will defend my race, my ethnicity, no matter right or wrong. Uh-huh. So they're just an Arabic nationality, uh-huh. and you have a person of Jewish descent. They're on the street, there's an argument, but let's just say the evidence shows, in your case, because you're part of the Jewish community, uh-huh. that the Jewish man was out of you, because you said, hey, there's some people in the Jewish community that don't love God. Uh-huh. So let's say one of those people did wrong mm-hmm. to an Arabic man. Mm-hmm. Would you speak up for the defense of the Arabic man because the evidence shows that the Jewish man had wronged him?
Of course.
That's kind of what I'm
going to. We are to be for justice.
Okay.
We are to be tzaddik. We should be righteous.
Tzaddik means righteous?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't defend your son who broke the window, so to speak, if he was guilty, to use that analogy. You would right. say, I'm sorry, but brother,
my son
your Jewish brother, uh-huh. I can't defend you. I can't take your side. Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with my fellow citizen who is of Arabic descent, yeah. because in this case, you wronged him. Yeah. You would do that.
Yeah, but I will tell you this. One of the things that 99.99 of the Jewish community is concerned mm-hmm. is being tzaddik.
That's righteous?
Being righteous.
Righteous, okay.
Yeah. And not dealing in the wrong way to somebody.
Yes.
Because we know that what we sow, we reap.
Yes.
And many times we reap without sowing, which it, we have a history to prove that, you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Wow. But okay.
It's true.
Thank you for the sharing that. This kind of leads into this next question. So we know that there are citizens who care deeply about the pillar principles. Mm-hmm. Family is the humanity of the unborn, parental rights. Mm-hmm. We know that there's many citizens who share those views, but they may have very divergent theological views. Mm-hmm. They may not even have a theological basis at all. Mm-hmm. So in your view, should these pillar citizens work together to advance our shared pillar principles? And if they should, on what basis? In other words, how can they do so without compromising what's most important to them, their beliefs and their faith?
Okay, there are two issues here. One is, it's clearly stated in scriptures that there is no communion between light and darkness.
Okay.
So that's one.
That's the first piece.
One piece to be taken consideration. Now, in the example that you did, we are instructed in Torah to be a tzaddik.
Okay, righteous. I keep having to try to remember the translations.
Righteous,
okay,
yeah,
to be righteous. Righteous. Okay.
Yeah, and so in any situation, we needed to take the side of righteousness.
Even if it's with a citizen who's not from your community,
right?
Either ethnically, mm-hmm. like the Arabic example we gave,
uh-huh.
or religiously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We stand for truth. We stand for righteousness. We stand for the principles that Hashem stands for.
Right.
Now, for example, one issue that I have with the Christian community. They all have good intentions, but they have some conditions. And what are the conditions? That is based on beliefs. And so some believe this way and others that way. Now, if you believe this way is the way I believe, we are in good shape.
Good
but
shape.
If you We're believe, shape. If you believe the other way, I mean, I want that to do with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that is okay. very common
within the Christian community that Christian you interact with.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then they justify by creating doctrines, and so they say this is our doctrines, and we need to believe it this way. And this guy here, this is our doctrines, has to believe it this way. Well, we don't have a relation of fellowship because they believe that way, we believe this way.
Yeah.
They are wrong, we are right, and vice versa, right?
Right, right.
Okay, but we practice a verse that many Christians don't even know exists in the New Testament. And that is Paul's instruction, and they, like Christians, elevate Paul, okay? Paul tells us, receive those whom the Lord has received. So, in our community, we have many Christians, and we don't discuss if they are premillennial, postmillennial, if they believe in gifts or not, if they believe in eternal security or they lose their salvation.
All the doctrinal
all those things.
Yeah.
We never touch those things.
Okay.
Because we have one instruction, my understanding. Receive those whom the Lord has received. So if I meet you and I talk with you a few minutes, I will know in my heart the right way if the Lord has received you or not. So if the Lord received you,
okay.
the holy being or the most holy being of the whole universe receive you, but I don't because you don't believe the way I believe.
That's kind of a problem.
That is a big problem, right?
Okay.
So we don't use, so here's the thing. Christian religion uses practices and doctrines.
Okay.
Okay, so if you're premillennial, we receive you. But if you're post, we don't.
Eschatological matter.
If you believe in eternal security, we receive you. If you don't believe, we don't receive. If you believe in the gifts, we receive you. If you don't, we don't.
Okay.
and based on doctrines and practices.
Orthodoxy, orthopraxy.
Right.
Yeah.
We have one view. Receive those, Paul said that, receive those whom the Lord has received.
Wow.
Okay, the most holy being of the universe received the most screwed up guy that I ever imagined.
Yeah.
But I don't, because I'm more holy than
You're
the most
holy,
holy
than
being.
Him. Yeah, right.
What arrogance is that?
Yes.
That's pitiful, right. You know? But that churches are full with that. And that's where came all the denominations, 99% yes. based on that.
I think it would be hard to argue with what you said. And I think, of course, a lot of people in the audience listening, sure, there's going to be, people are going to draw the lines at different places as far as what are the non-negotiables?
Right.
What are the fundamentals? And I doubt you're saying, you're talking about people who don't share fundamentals with you.
Right.
But the question becomes, how many of the issues are really fundamentals?
Right.
Is it everything? Is everything a fundamental?
Well, in my view, the most fundamental issue is, has this person been received by God?
Okay.
That has to be answered. Now, if that has the answer, then we go from there. No, he has never been received by God. Okay, let's help this brother explain to him about God and God's intention to redeem the fallen human being that we all are,
yeah,
and bring us back to becoming his children,
right,
be born again, be born of the Spirit of God. And so we explain that to the person. But what I don't agree, for example, is that we use doctrines and practices.
Got you.
To decide if this person is acceptable or rejected.
Got you.
Know you. What I mean?
No, I totally.
There is no. There is no. There is no instructions in the scriptures about that. That you receive someone because he believes like you, or receive someone because he practices like you.
That's right.
There's no such a thing. The issue is, has you have been received by God?
Yes.
That's the issue.
As we wrap up, what would be your final thoughts for us as it relates to the pillar principles of traditional marriage, parental rights, religious liberty, and the humanity of the unborn? Final words.
Okay. You can't attain none of them without God. That's the first thing. The second thing, all of them are relate to people.
Well, but that's true. They all relate to people.
So, for you to attain those principles, you need two things. You need to be able to love God, and you need to be able to love people.
Well said.
Love God and love people. That's what God expects for each one of us. And to be able to do what you just said, you need to have that kind of relationship of love for God and for people.
That's very good.
If we don't have that, we're spinning our wheels and getting nowhere.
Yeah. And that's what we see outside, right?
Yeah.
In the communities, and that is changing.
Unfortunately, things are not based on that. It's based on this guy, he makes a lot of money, let's treat him well, we need him as part of our group.
Yeah.
Another one, this guy here, he has great talents, he knows a lot of stuff, let's have part of our group. But he never read the Bible, but that's okay, he has great intellect.
Right.
Well, those are all in the human level.
Human, exactly, that's the word that's in my mind.
Which is not in the godly realm, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Rabbi Garagor, thank you so much for taking the time to share your insights with us, giving us your perspective. We really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. I'd just like to say this. The Lord Jesus Christ said we are to recognize Him who the Father has sent. Yeah. So we always needed to turn our hearts to the Lord and embrace Him and pray like he taught us to pray. Thy will be done, not my will.
That's right. That's right.
Amen?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Rabbi, again, thank you so much for
You're welcome.
Sharing all your insights with us and your heart with us today.
My pleasure.
Yeah. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure.
Thank
really,
you.
It really is.
Thank you.
I will say Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Thank you.
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. Well, my name's Aaron Robertson with the Patriot League, and we thank you for joining us today. And we invite you to join the Pillar Citizen community at pillarcitizen.com so that we can together advance our shared pillar principles. So on behalf of our entire leadership team, we want to thank you for watching The Spotlight. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Yeah. God bless you.
Yes, you as well.